This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big cube. Taco to go, taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't taco, lose. Taco, 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 taco. This deal legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
It's a very one-sided rivalry, that's for sure. I mean, like, really, what? How often is it that Knicks fans... I mean, certainly if you're an older fan, you got a couple things to kind of hang your hat on here. But I don't know how you're younger, Knicks fan, meaning younger, meaning post-championships. Oh, what are you gonna lean for? Number one, there's very little head-to-head success. And number two, nobody in their right minds really thinks the Knicks have much of a chance this series here. But that's why you go to midcourt. That's why you dap up. That's why you play. And who knows, maybe in a week or so, a week and a half or so, it's going to be a lot of fun. And especially if you just get out of the chute tonight, I mean, that would be phenomenal. What? That would be what? Did I just say phenomenal? What did I just say?
Phenomenal.
No, I think I said phenomenal.
Correct.
That was a weird one. Andrew's in Bay Ridge. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up? So listen,
yeah.
I think Thibodeau is like, he's kind of like, I'm not low energy, but he's like stubborn. It's hard for me to say that like he is it. And isn't the coach's job to scheme and architect a way for you to be at least competitive, if not win, in games that you should be kind of like overmatched? And I'm curious because I didn't follow as closely as I have, say, in recent time, but like, has Thibodeau ever had a team with a deep bench, and how did he manage that? Even if we got, let's say we got KD, mm-hmm. would that mean just one of our starters would sit and then KD would play the whole game? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how did he deal with a deeper bench?
Well, listen, I don't know that I'm not going to run through every team that he's ever had here, but I mean, think about his early days with the Chicago Bulls. It was dominated by by Derrick Rose. And, I mean, that's pretty much it before he ripped up his knee. I mean, Joakim Noah was very good. And obviously, I think Taj Gibson was Gibson there? I don't know if he was there. But that's right, Butler too, before he left. So he's always had really good players. He's really always had good starters. Now, is it a lack of development? Is it a lack of resources? I'm sure every situation's a little unique here. But... this is what I can say about Tom Thibodeau as a coach. Like, there's two barometers. Do you consistently underachieve? And the answer for him is absolutely no. They don't underachieve. Like, find the play. And I've said this about Aaron Boone a lot, right? For those of you who, you weren't sure if you wanted, but this is going back for years now. If Boone should be brought back, whatever. And I would support Aaron Boone. I think he's a good manager. I do. I mean, he's great. I don't think he's perfect. I don't know anybody who is, and there's a couple things that I might do a little differently, but I think he's got a good pulse for his team, all right? And I've said that, so I'm a Boone believer. But for those of you who push back on that, I would always say find the series or find the season where Aaron Boone's Yankees truly underachieved. Like, underachieved. There are none. So if you don't underachieve, then I can't look at you as somebody who is... a detriment, and now I go back to Tom Thibodeau, name the series as an NBA coach, specifically with us, where he's really, truly underachieved. Okay, you want to say he was the 4 seed back in 2020, so just based on that they underachieved against the Hawks? I don't think so. The Hawks were better. There's no doubt the Atlanta Hawks had more better players, period. It's the easiest analysis in the world. It was Julius Randle and a bunch of guys just scrapping. And Randle, you know, everything they did defensively, they draped 2-3 guys on him, didn't shoot the ball well, and he didn't play well. Knicks had no shot. None. So I don't think he underachieved in that series. I don't think he underachieved last year against the Pacers because the Knicks, they trying to, you know, trying to win this thing with spit and glue and some tape. So, I also, having said that about Kim, I also think it's easy for me to say, point out the series that he overachieved in. And now that is also directly correlated to coaching. What has he, where have we gone into, you know, whether it's the Knicks or the T-Wolves or the Bulls, specific to him, and said, wow, look at this series where they were not supposed to win this series. And wow, they pulled it off, man. Amazing. I don't really feel that. And that is why when I look at him, I say he is good and obviously solid, but there's not a next level. And I'm okay with saying that. Prove me wrong. Let me get John in Maspeth. John, BT and Sal. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, man? So this is going to be a hard pill to swallow for Knicks fans. But the Knicks are stuck. They're stuck in terms of this Boston team is much better. They're bigger on the front court. The front court can shoot threes. The back court can shoot threes. They're a deeper team. They're better coached. They're all veterans. They all know their roles.
Mm-hmm.
They could have 2 or 3 players go cold and still have players out there shooting the lights out. They're a deep, deep team that is going to be around for a while. These guys are under contract for the next 3-4 years. Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, Derek White, Drew Holiday, Payton Pritchard. They're not going anywhere for a while. They're going to be around.
Yep.
And this Knicks team is very limited in what they can do this offseason to improve.
I agree.
They already gave away all their draft picks. They're going
John, you're just reciting what I've been saying forever. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to you, but I know. That's why I've always said this about this Knicks. Hence the frustration. Kind of stuck. And I get it. Yeah, years ago, we would have dreamt for this day. All right, well, the evaluation process expands. And here we are. You know, and listen, the Celtics' depth is just, it's just ridiculous. Tatum plays 39 minutes a game. Brown plays 36. And Derek White's another horse. He plays 37, right? But you got KP playing 27. You got Drew Holiday. Now, Holiday's been banged up. He missed, missed 3 games in that series. But Drew Holiday's a big minute guy, 35 a game. Peyton Pritchard, you know, maybe Tyler Colek could be there, but he never gets a could be their version of Peyton Pritchard, but he never plays. So who knows? You know, Peyton Pritchard, 27 minutes a game. Al Horford, you know, the OG, 32 minutes a game. Then you got Cornette, who, oh, yeah, by the way, used to be on the Knicks, you know, playing 16, 17 minutes a night. Sam Hauser, he's 15 minutes. So you've just got, it's totally different. So they're much deeper. Their 2 best players are better than our top 2 players, all right? I mean, just because Mazzulla won the championship, I'm not going to necessarily say that they're better coached, but I do think that their coach has a better feel for his players maybe than Tom Thibodeau does for his, you know? And they've got a lot of shooters, and the Knicks don't defend the 3-point line well. So there's just a lot of advantages that go in the column of the Celtics. Let me get Andrew in North Salem. Andrew, BT and Sal, what's up, buddy?
Hey, BT. Hey. I am so pumped up for this series, and I continue to turn on the radio the last couple days, and I just hear a lot of pessimism, but I'm going to bring the energy.
Okay.
If you told me it's the 2-3 versus the 3 seed in the second round, I would have signed up for that, and it's Knicks versus Celtics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this thing's going to go 7. And if we're there standing there close in the end, and maybe we lose by a couple, as long as the refs don't control this last couple minutes in game 7,
mm-hmm.
I think we should keep Tibbs and we should keep the team because this is really the first year with these guys. And all the calls about Tibbs, you know, I'm going to defend this man because this guy just, he doesn't sleep. He just, all he thinks about is basketball. And he's the hardest working coach out there, and I'm going to stick by him.
All right, hold on. I got you. I respect that you respect Tibbs, but let's have a conversation. You're throwing stuff out here. You see, he's the hardest working coach. How do you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know he doesn't have a family because I read that he just, all he thinks about is basketball and studies the game.
I know. I respect.
Who are you going to replace him with?
Forget it. Malone. I gave you a name. Malone. Whatever. Or I try to trade for
Spoelstra. Yeah, well, I'll take Spoelstra, but that's the only person.
All right, no, I got you. But I don't doubt that he's very immersed in his craft here, but maybe he should find a little more balance. I mean, if he's
the series, because everybody around here is really pissing me off because they keep calling and they keep complaining and we haven't even had tip off yet.
You know what?
So
I respect that, Andrew.
Stuff in a couple weeks.
I respect what you're doing. I believe it's genuine. Like I got you. What on a scale of 1 to 10? Why don't you rate this Nick regular season for you? What you thought it would be versus what it was? Give me a number.
I would say a 7.5.
Okay.
I mean, they won.
Okay, hold on. Stop. Let me stop. Hold on. 7.5. So right there, you just justified why many of us have the opinions that we have. So how could you get honest for having those opinions when you're saying the same thing?
Well, I'm saying it's the first year that they've had this group together, and they still got the 3 seed. So I'll take that all day. I mean, I've been through all these years just like you of having no basketball to watch.
Yeah, but that doesn't, Andrew, that doesn't mean anything to me, man. And that's not a you thing. That's just a thing. Like, there's an expiration point on that. I'm already at it. Trust me, I know what I watched all these years. Eddie Curry. Come on, man. We've all been wearing it for a long time. I won't hear about it anymore. I'll give you another example. Same thing with St. John's. I mean, now St. John's had number one portal. You know, they had number two in the country preseason. Like, St. John's is going to be sick next year. Now, they might not go 31-5. But they are supposed to be, they are on the, like Vegas already said, they're supposed to be on the short list for championship teams. So, okay, this year, now if you remember, and not just because I do the games, maybe some of you choose to think otherwise, whatever. I wasn't overly critical after the Arkansas game. It was a bad matchup. St. John's played awful, and Arkansas won. All right? And by the way, Arkansas, I knew that they had a lot of big-bodied athletes who were just a little bigger and more athletic and tougher maybe. And then R.J. Lewis played poorly, and what happened, they lost. Now, I didn't crush them because St. John's was number four. I think they were picked 4, maybe 5, but I think it was 4 preseason Big East last year. They overachieved. They won the regular season. They won the Big East championship, and they won 30 games for the first time since the mid-'80s. Now this year, because now what happens? The expectations change. And next year, let's say they were to lose in round 1 or round 2. I mean, that would be a disaster. Round 2 again, right? Then that would be akin to somebody calling me up that the next day, me and Sal saying, well, I mean, hey, listen, guys, St. John's been down for so long. I'm not hearing that this year. No. And I'm not hearing it with the Knicks anymore. Because the Knicks' elevation began before St. John's elevation. That's why they're not on the same, it's not the same measurement for me. That would start next year for St. John's. Year 3, obviously I evaluate them this year, but that bottom line assessment that would really determine how I felt about the program, you know what I mean? Independent of my love for the people at the school, I'm talking about really being honest with you and saying, dude, they didn't get it done. All the preseason hype, the NIL money, the top portal, the number 3 team of the country. Hey, fantastic. You lost in round 2. No, not good enough. Incongruent. Is that too big of a word? With what I perceive them to be, if it's different from what that perception is, well, then I got to be honest with you. And what I thought the Knicks would be this year, right now where they are, is not what I thought they would be. And guess what? I have been honest with you about that. I have kept it real with you. Maybe too real for some of you. But I think more people are with me than not. And not that I'm looking for this whole Nick army of, he said this back in the day, back in November, and he might be right. Not about keeping score. It's about we know sports here. We know when a team looks like a potential champion and when a team doesn't. And right now, they don't look like a potential champion. That's what I feel. Matt's in Houston, Texas. What's up, Maddie?
That's right, Houston, Texas. BT, I think a lot has been discussed, and rightfully so, about Cat in this series, right? The good and the bad, and we've seen both sides of it. Mm. And a lot of that surely will be on the player to produce. That's what happens in these games. But I also think it's on the coach to put the player in the right position. I look at the Celtics and the Knicks and Porzingis and Cat, right? And what seemingly, if I was to guess, will happen on Boston's side is Porzingis will get the rest on defense because they'll put him on Josh Hart. They'll ask him to protect the paint and rebound and basically rest on D, for lack of a better description, mm-hmm. in order to play offense. If I was Tibbs, I know he's not the most creative, so to speak, or stubborn at times.
Yep.
I'd consider Cat in a situation similarly. I don't think that they can guard him. I don't think that him guarding Kristaps is smart whatsoever. Because all Boston's going to do, we saw it all season long, they're going to hunt him in the pick and roll. Mm-hmm. As soon as they hunt him in the pick and roll, he's lost.
That's over.
He's guarding Porzingis.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
Yep.
He's guarding Porzingis, pick and pop, open three. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown to the bucket, easy one. I would put him on a guy they don't want to screen with. Put him on Holiday. Put him on somebody where he can, sure, he will give up a few open threes if he's guarding Holiday. Put him in a position where, for lack of a better description, he can also rest on defense so he can play offense. Because you know Boston's going to hunt him every single time down because they don't care who shoots it. They'll put him in the screen, and they got five guys on the perimeter who can shoot it,
They
right?
don't care. So they'll take whichever matchup they could get. It's more about exploiting the Knicks' weakness rather than trying to set up their strength because their entire strength, everybody shoots.
It's strength, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I think, conversely, if I'm the Knicks, assuming Kristaps guards Hart, which I think, you know, we saw a little bit last year with the big guy guarding Hart because he, you know, doesn't want to shoot the ball so much. They have to put Hart in a screen and roll with Brunson and at least make Kristaps move his feet. I know he's going to slough off, but they can't let these guys on defense, Boston that is, basically just go 1-on-5 and rest on defense.
Listen, really good call, by the way, but here's the problem. Like, all right, even if they do that, and they might, I don't know if he will, but it would be interesting to see if they did what might happen. Like, even if the Knicks are able to hide Cat, they'll go hunt the day after Brunson.
Yeah, they will. They will.
And that's one of the problems there.
When you have two guys who are not great defensively, of course, you can't hide everybody.
No, but then when you're two best players, that's why I don't think that they can win the championship. You know? Think about, now this is an easy low-hanging fruit example, but think about the Bulls' two best players during their, one was Jordan, one was Pippen. I mean, and Pippen was a better defender than Jordan. You know? It's not an ideal fit. I think most of us know this. And it's going to have to take an amazing overachievement. An amazing overachievement for the Knicks to win. And then win again against the Cavs. You know?
You know, when I look at this team, BT, and this really just hit me when you were talking about that second star, right, on championship teams.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking recently, and you have to look at a team like the Raptors, right? Or the Spurs that had a guy like Kawhi Leonard who was a jack of all, mm-hmm. like a jack of all trades, going out there defending, scoring at an incredibly high level, carrying that team all the way to a championship. That's what Brunson pretty much has to be at this point if yep. this team wants to do that, because, like you said, there is no Pippen on this team. I mean, Cat probably is on the same level as a guy like Chris Middleton, but then the third star who would be Jrue Holiday, they don't have that. They don't have a three-headed monster. They don't have that next star who is a legit first-ballot Hall of Fame guy. Yeah. And as long as that's the case, it's going to have to be Brunson Ball taking them all the way to a championship, which is unfortunate because you've marked it out. It ain't easy to do it like that. But if there is a guy that might be able to, maybe it is him.
I'm not putting, listen,
tonight's that night. Tonight is a night to make it happen.
I love it. I'm not putting any limitations on Jalen Brunson. I may put some on the other guys. I put nothing on him in terms of what he cannot do and certainly what he can do. That situation, like big picture, why it's a little tricky. Like, let's say that they've got to go Brunson Ball, and that's the only way for them to win. He could average 39 points a game in the series, just be outclassed by a much better team, a deeper team, a more efficient team. And then you're going to have Nick Peoples, some dope, saying, oh, Brunson's not, he's not great. He's not a superstar. He's not good enough. But he hasn't been put in that position yet to really maximize his talents. He just doesn't have that yet. 888-808-1019 is the number. BT and Sal. It is 122 here on the Fan. We got Evan and Tiki coming up next at 2. Back to the calls next on the Fan. I don't know if you heard this on Friday. Quite frankly, I have not checked it to see if it's changed a little bit because I know the series price has changed a bit. So I would imagine these have been a little bit tweaked here. Not a big deal. It's still ballpark. Now, if you wanted to bet and have a little fun and be really specific and really, you know, get those juicy odds there. All right, so if you think the Knicks are going to get mopped in four, no resistance, which there's no way they're getting swept. Dude, if the Knicks get swept, I mean, then it's got to be wholesale. Even I can't see that. But if they do get swept and you bet them, they're plus 360, which means if you, I'm sure most of you know this, but if you bet $100 and they do get swept, you win 360. Now, if you think the Knicks could author a sweep, 0.0% chance of that happening, that would be plus 4,000. So if you bet 100 and the Knicks win in four, you get 4,000. If you bet two and they win in four, you get eight, and so on and so forth. Increments of 4,000. Not happening. Knicks to win in five. That's not happening either. But if you're curious about the odds, plus 3,500. Now, if I was to do this, because I would never bet for the Celtics specific, because I don't want that to happen, I would probably bet of the two remaining options, Knicks and six or Knicks and seven. Knicks and six is plus 13. Knicks and seven is plus 1040. So, I mean, Knicks and six would be, it happens at the Garden rather than in Boston, but that means they've got to play, they've got less margin for error, and I don't think that's going to happen. And it does go to a game seven. I mean, not that I would bet against them. I mean, hell, if they get to game seven, anything can happen. But I guess if I had to get creative here, I'd go Knicks and six for those exotic odds. Not that I think that I'm not picking the Knicks to win in six. I think it's going to be the Celtics in. Yeah, I am, you know, I'm going to divulge that at the end. I'm going to save that. As much as we've talked, all the things we've talked about, haven't given you the official prediction. We'll get to that in a bit. Jason's up in the Bronx. What up, Jay?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
I'm excited about tonight. Hopefully they come out and do their thing tonight. But let me ask you this. What would you think, since you said they don't have much room for moves,
mm-hmm.
if they play the cap for Giannis?
Yeah, I mean, I would do it. I don't know why the Bucks would be motivated. See, if I'm the Bucks, then they got to obviously strip down and hit reset. Like Karl Anthony Towns only just puts a lot of money on your books. He doesn't get you anywhere closer than you were with Giannis. Like,
doesn't their money just about match up?
Yeah, but what I'm saying, yes, but if it does and it's just about in the same neighborhood, why wouldn't you rather keep Giannis? He's better.
Not if Giannis wants out.
Well,
if Giannis talks about he wants out.
He can want out all he wants. If he doesn't show up, he's not getting paid.
He just bought a house in the Hamptons, so never know what might happen.
No, listen, I'm not saying that it can happen. What I'm saying is from the Milwaukee Bucks perspective, let me get the exact salaries up here. Let me just say that Giannis is truly done. And I know he was in the city the other day. I did see that. All right, he might be. But that doesn't mean Giannis. Yeah. I mean, he's got $57 million next year, $62 million the year after that, and then $66.8 the year after that. Now, that's a player option, and he'll still be, I guess, kind of young enough to probably opt out, as crazy as that sounds. Now, I'm good on the 66. Yeah, because you're going to get 80 by then. But I don't think, two things. Number one, and maybe I'm just naive here, I don't think he's the kind of guy, I think he's like 1% of NBA players that would not author some power play, and certainly not publicly, like a Jimmy Butler situation where Jimmy just does whatever he wants. I think Giannis is just, he's not built that way, man. So I don't think that would happen. And if I don't think that would happen, I'm not saying that he couldn't communicate it quietly, and then the Bucks could try to move him, which, by the way, I do think the Bucks are going to move him. I just don't think he's going to be here because I don't think that they have, you know, we have what they want. But that's the situation. Now, if they didn't give up the five first-round picks for Mikal, well, guess what? Much better chance Giannis is here. Giannis might be with the Nets. Wouldn't surprise. I think there's a better chance he's with the Nets than he is with the Knicks, in my opinion. How about Adam in South Jersey? Big Knicks guy. What up, man?
Brandon, what's up, my friend? I hope you're well. I'll start with that, as always.
Yep, doing well so far. What's happening, buddy?
I got, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this. I wish Sal was here for some positivity. I mean, you know, this is not the normal statement here, BT, but I'm going to tell you what. Every great champion falls, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone, Yankee mm-hmm. dynasties, all of them, they all go down. And it's usually when you least expect it to who you least expect it, like the Marlins taking out the Yankees in 04, yeah. right? Just 03, whatever it was.
03, 03, 03.
03, right. Yeah. So
but baseball's different.
Not what you expect to happen, right?
Yeah, but baseball's different. You know that.
Baseball's different, but how many dynasties do you have in basketball lately?
Yeah, but hold on.
I mean, how many champions.
Yeah, but don't you think, Adam, and I love that you're looking for a ray of optimism. God bless you. But don't you think that it's far less frequent that the superior team in the NBA loses a long series? I do.
You know, I do agree with that, but I'm going to say this. Superior in what aspect? I mean, all
talent.
Right, so check it out. The Knicks need one thing I agree with you on is they need the third guy, right? They have the third guy. He just has to show up. That's Bridges. Bridges is the key to the series, Brandon. If they go in tonight and they go angry, and trust me, they hear you and everybody else that says they can't win, you're going to see the best brand of defense they've played all year tonight because this is their game to steal. And if they can get Bridges on track this series, Knicks in six.
Oh,
I'm not even playing around. Yeah. I'm not even not being like crazy about it. I think that they get game one,
yep.
right? They're going to come back home. They're going to lose one. It's going to be 2-2. Then they're going to go win on the road again because they're just a better road team. It's just how they are. And then they'll come home and close them out in six. And everyone will say, oh, my God, what happened? Knicks in six. And it happens if Bridges has a big series.
I love
Enjoy the game. Go New York. Go New York.
That's
go.
Awesome, dude. Great job. Great sentiment. I don't agree with it. I'm not feeling it, but I'm hoping you just spoke it into existence. And you know, I saved some of my notes from Friday's show. And at the end of the show, well, maybe not quite at the end, but somewhere toward the end, Zoo printed up the back page of the Post for me. Remember that, Zoo, from Friday? And I'm looking at it now. And God, this is gorgeous, man. And there's a picture of Brunson just releasing the ball with 5.8 seconds to go. All right. And it says, Captain Clutch adds to his lore as Knicks survive Pistons war. And then in monster letters, legend. Continue the legend. You know, the pursuit of legendary status, man. I'm not putting a ceiling on Brunson. That's one thing I'll never do. Not him.
No, and you absolutely can. That's why tonight, that's why you got to believe anything is possible, especially tonight. It's game one. We haven't seen what's going to happen. Yeah, we've seen what happens in the regular season. We saw that a lot. I've seen that happen in a lot of sports, too. I know you have as well, where teams get absolutely embarrassed throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? They play again in the postseason. What happens? They show up. They have a little oomph to them because they're not going to let you just dog them out all season long. The Knicks are not going to allow the Celtics to just sweep them out of the series. They're not going to go up there. They're not going to lose by 35 points. They're going to come out. They're going to hear every word, like he said, that we have been saying about them, that they're not that team, that they don't have
the right
guys.
Why did they
hear
me say it during the year? I've been saying it all year. Why are they waiting for a selective hearing? Why are they waiting to hear me now? Yeah. I've been saying this since November. I didn't like the way they looked.
Because I think sometimes some guys need that extra element there. You know what I mean? Now it's playoff time. Now they're feeling it personally. Regular season, you know, you're dealing with everything else. It's just your regular work day, right? Now it's the Super Bowl of work. Now you got to show up. Now this is where your money is made. Cat knows what everybody has been saying about him. He hears it too, and now it's been louder. It's louder. The defenders aren't as loud.
Yeah.
The naysayers are louder. Uh-huh. The Bridges naysayers are loud. And I'm telling you one thing, his agent, Brunson, hell, even Dante DiVincenzo might have hit him up to let him know that every single person, every Knick fan, every media member, if he does not show up in this series, if he is a dud, if he is pathetically bad or even mediocre, they are going to crush him. They're going to crush that GM. They're going to crush that organization because why? You mentioned it earlier. They gave up 5 first-round picks for him, and Giannis Antetokounmpo is about to become available, and now you have no prayer of getting him, whereas if you kept at least 3 of those picks, you would have a shot. They are going to know that that is a possibility. They're going to hear the headlines before they come out, and that's why I think this team is going to go in there tonight. They're going to make some noise. They are going to win this game.
Well, that's a good rant. That's a good job, buddy. All right, man. That'll get you pumped up. That'll get you popping a little bit. Good job, Zoo. 888-808-1019. There you go.
Call of the day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Vince up in Poughkeepsie. Vince?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
All right.
So I know you can't do this right now, but I'd like it one time. Break down all the coaches that have coached the Knicks since they last won a championship. Because only one coach won championship, Red Holtzman. They've had 25 coaches since then get fired. So if you think a coach is going to magically bring this team to a championship, it's not going to happen. It's the roster. It's not the coach.
No, but the roster's better now.
I know, so big, but they're not. They're better, but they're no compared to Boston. They're lucky if they win one game against Boston. But
okay,
Boston
hold on a second. Vince, hold on. If Jeff Van Gundy's coaching this team, you don't think we feel better about this? I do.
No, why?
Well, because he's a better coach.
He's not going to hit that three.
He's a better coach.
Better coach? What are you talking about? He's putting what? Is he better at putting players in that you want to play?
Yes.
Pressure should have played.
Yes.
That's it. So it's all about playing players. Because the only coach that lost the Knicks a championship is their best one, Pat Riley. Because in Game 7, he left
Starks. I've gotten on him for that. I got you. Do I think that Tom Thibodeau was good? Vince, you got to hear me on this. Yes.
Right.
I think he's really good. I don't think he's great.
So who are you going to get? Who are you going to get that's magically going to bring them to the championship?
Well, I don't know. How about the guy that won the championship 2 years who's from Queens, Mike Malone? How about that guy? I don't even want to really do this today. You brought me into that, and that's okay. Got no problem going back and forth. I'm not going to turn this into the higher Mike Malone show or the Mike Malone bit. But I do think that you are overstating, respectfully. You know, I have no problem doing this. I love this stuff. It's what sports radio is about. But I think that you are overstating Tom Thibodeau. And quite frankly, I think that you think that I'm understating it. That's fine. That's why you call up the show. That's why we do what we do. We keep it moving. Good call, Vince. I don't agree with you, but I appreciate the call.
All right, there you go. That's the BT and Sal call of the day. Let's get back to those calls. 888-808-1019. How about Dan in Stamford? Dan, what's going on?
Hey, BT, how you doing?
Good, Dan.
Listen, I'm 73 years old. I've watched the Knicks championship way back then. My head is about to explode. And at my age, I can't, you know what I mean? I can't have that happen.
Okay, so what's wrong?
The Knicks, I love the Knicks, big Knicks fan.
Yep.
I firmly believe you will never, ever, you won't win a championship if Jalen Brunson has to be a big scorer every game. Let me give you a quick example.
Okay.
Last night, I watched the Golden State game, the whole game.
Yep.
You know how many points Steph Curry had at the half?
I don't know.
Zero.
Did he have zero?
A guy I never heard of before. His last name is something Fields. He made 9 threes for Golden State.
You're talking about Buddy Hield. Who's a shooter?
Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
You know why? They gave him a chance. They let him try. It's up to Jalen Brunson. He's the first guy with his hands on the ball. He's got to get other players involved. I don't buy blaming Karl Anthony Towns. Give him the ball. If you got to bounce it off his head, give him the ball. Give him the ball. Let these other guys get involved. They're capable. They can score too, but they got to be involved. And I believe if the only way the Knicks are going to win this series, and I hope they do, I hope they win tonight, but they can't win consistently the way they're playing. Just my feeling. Thanks for letting an old guy vent.
No, man, I think you nailed a lot of things there. Thanks for the call there, Dan. Listen, I'm not worried about the Knicks scoring. I'm worried about the Knicks stopping. You know, the three-point prowess of Boston, well-known. Three-point deficiencies defensively by the Knicks, well-known. Mitch, Fort Lee, what's up, Mitch?
Hey, what's up, BT? How's everything?
Well,
we
cooking,
getting ready for next Friday night's game there?
Yep,
you ready
yep.
for it?
Everything's good.
Okay, everything's good. Getting to your comments I've been hearing all morning about, you know, the Knicks game tonight. Yeah. I want to talk about the Yankees, but I'll talk about the Knicks because it's more important. That, you know, if you watch the Knicks game even Friday night, Knicks get a big lead, and they can't hold the lead. They, you know, you get Towns shooting three-pointers from mid-court. They only have 8 guys off the bench. They're tired. I cannot see, like, and I'm agreeing with you, I cannot see the Knicks beating Boston. I'll probably go 4-1 out of it. And, you know, and you never know what happens in basketball, but BT, this team is not that good. This team is not that good. Everyone thought they were. I grew up, you know, way back when I had season tickets, when the Knicks played, when they had only had Patrick Ewing, you know, but we never had a guard then. And, you know, it's the same thing with the fans. Play it out, see what happens. Like last night, who thought Cleveland was going to lose? And who thought Houston was going to lose?
Yeah.
You know, it's every week. You know, you just got to play it out and see what happens. But, you know, I just don't see it. Especially if the Boston hits their threes and the Knicks can't get, they get hot and then they get cold. They're gonna get blown out tonight. They're gonna lose by 25 points.
Hey, I know I was doing some Yankee stuff earlier. I know you got a little something on them. Go ahead before I let you go. Go ahead, Mitch.
Okay. You said about you like Boone.
I do.
Can I tell you something? I watch every game, and I've only been to one game so far because of the weather's been bad in my work. But Boone has cost us now already four games of the year. Four games already. And what happened last year? If we didn't lose all those games because of Boone not managing the bullpen, taking out pitches at a certain time, BT, we would have had home field for the World Series, and something could have changed. That's my point.
Well, I mean, I don't look at, I got you, Mitch, and thanks for the call there, buddy. I'll see you soon. I don't look at that as important as home court advantage in the NBA or home ice in the NHL or, you know, playing a divisional round in the NFL in your own crib in front of 80,000 fans rather than going on the road. I just don't look at it that way. I mean, you know, I mean, Aaron Judge dropped the fly ball in Yankee Stadium. So I think that Aaron Boone has, and this is a bigger discussion, but this will really encapsulate why I've defended him. Like, people say, you know, Boone doesn't do this, Boone doesn't do that. Would you look at the roster? I mean, look at the roster. I mean, Bellinger's hitting 198. It's not Aaron Boone's fault. They got news for you. So, I know he batted leadoff yesterday. He's been all over the place. You know, they're counting on Ben Rice, who I like, but has gotten a little cold lately. He's down to 255. I know the OPS is still really good, but 0-for-4 yesterday, took the collar. Yeah, he's been batting third. You know, he suddenly out of nowhere, Ben Rice's production and, his protection, I should say, pardon me, for Judge. Did you really even truly know anything about Ben Rice before last year? Maybe you saw his name once, prospect, whatever, catcher, you know, from up in Maine or whatever it is, Vermont, somewhere up there. You didn't really know much. It went to Dartmouth. You didn't know much about him. You know, I mean, thank God Goldschmidt's playing well. I mean, but it's just a light. How many Reyes, Vivas, Cabrera? What do you want him to do? I don't think that Miller, Huggins, or Tony La Russa combined, the baseball love child of those people, can put together a competent infield right now. Outside of Goldschmidt. I mean, obviously, Volpe's good, but I mean, like a 4 out of 4, second base and third, not just first and short. That is a big problem that he's got to work around.